Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here. So much more importantly, Philip Lawrence Sherrod is our subject and our guest today, and he's part of a continuing series on his life, on his career, on his art, on his poetry. He's a composer. He's a Renaissance man. He's also the author of a soon-to-be-released book, and we'll let you know as that gets a little closer. It's in his own words. Frank McKay here with Philip Lawrence Sherrod. Philip, welcome.
Hello, Frank. Hello.
In our last session, we were kind of talking about where the world is gone, and you know, it's taken a violent turn, and it's very disturbing. You know, I guess in the 60s, you know, there were the protest, and you know, a lot of people attempted the peaceful protest, and they were protesting the Vietnam War, and you had a lot of students getting involved at that. You're an educator yourself, and I don't know where you were at that time. And you know, you were in New York, I know that, but it does it feel like that? I mean, that was different, you know, and it was a different era of flower children and peace loving understanding. I'm not sure that this resembles that, but this time period is a feeling of upheaval. Do you see any parallels between the 60s and where we are now?
Well, Frank, in the 60s, 67, 68, and 69, I did some large indoor 16-foot horizontal pieces that were 72 inches high. And I objected to the Vietnam War. I objected to the Korean before. And I objected to all violence that, to me, would lead to greater repercussions of violence. Nobody was doing anything of that sort, but I saw it all coming in the escalation of even the traffic in the street, the honking of horns, the impatience of people, almost without reason. I mean, why should you honk from one stoplight to another when you know in front of you is another stoplight? Why shouldn't you be courteous? Why create, should I say, just a sense of noise without action? That escalated the people into greater concerns of where they weren't really where they weren't when they were. It's like a denouncing of truth itself or a form of truth. In the 60s, I was painting all outside and so forth. I did several large pieces objecting to the wars, and I even had Channel 4 came over here and asked me about the large pieces and came into my studio, and I explained to them about maybe 45 minutes on one of the large pieces, the Antichrist eats the pork's foot, which symbolically and metaphorically was destruction, primeval, with the subconscious statements trying to be put on the canvas. Well, they were going to put it on the 5 o'clock news, and they gave me a minute and a half on real time on TV at the 5 o'clock news. So if you get that far in saying you're going to do something and then you do something completely like censorship, That's evading. That's telling a lie. That's not telling the truth to the artist themselves. So if you can get that far off base, if you can, we can say maybe lose your voice, lose your moral face, then maybe something is wrong. I don't know how to explain to the world that all of the things I tell them are true, and that's the way it is. You don't have to like a president of the United States or the delivery if it's brusque. But I don't think that one man is to be jeopardized or to be
blamed.
Well, blamed or acquitted, even by a personal action. That's the way other presidents have been also, but nobody quotes them. So I don't know what to say publicly to the world other than it's about time that some people with that are level-headed and that are morally concerned about people in their lives, that they come in and sober some people up. It's not enough to dislike someone. It doesn't mean you go shoot them or stab them in the head with an ice pick like Lenin down in Mexico. It's just wrong. And where is the personal moral check on oneself? So it all starts with the self. Every self, if they take on the responsibility of being a self, they won't hurt anyone. They will try to get along. They can discuss and go on and so forth, but not stopping traffic, not it's just wrong.
Yeah. No, again, the voice you're hearing is Philip Lawrence Sherrod, Frank McKay here. With Philip Lawrence Sherrod. Well, let me ask you this, and you know, maybe it's a little random, but do you have a favorite period of time that you lived in? And you know, maybe it's because of personal experience, or maybe it was because of how the world was. I mean, the 50s, the 60s, 70s, today. What is, if you had to pick a time period that just felt the best for you, what was it and why?
Well, again, I will say when my mother gave birth to me to this earth, that was a joy. That was a joy to me to get to come out and see the world. And being a composer, a painter, and a poet, it's the joy of living. They on the news, they always quote the bad. They always quote the distorted, the maimed. They don't quote how joyous it is to look into the head of a rose. When I was in Rome, they have these jumbo roses, these huge La Bombas, and the scent maybe isn't as strong as some smaller roses, but the joy of being alive, the joy of looking, the joy of receiving ideas, I would say being alive every minute of my life, and exploring as much as I was allowed to explore without writing graffiti on a public wall. I mean, I was brought up among people that that felt it was wrong to deface public property. If you honor that rule, in a way, although I love the trains in New York and Chicago that were graffitiized because of their color and the action it gives them as a form, It's again a no-no of destroying property. So there have to be lines drawn by the people themselves realizing that they don't have certain rights, that they owe the world the right to be right, to be all right, and not destructive in any form. I once in baseball ran through a fence in Lawton, Oklahoma, because I didn't acknowledge that it was there. I was after this long fly ball, and I got knocked out, or I knocked myself out. And after about a couple of seconds, I got up and I thought, how silly of me to not honor the wall, because it's a real object. And of course, everyone will say, well, everybody knows that. But they might know it, but they don't follow it in rule of survival. They don't follow it in rule of response to beauty. I mean, there are things that are just so beautiful that I'm in awe of, whether it be a poem, whether it be a woman, whether it be a man, whether it be a thought. I am floored consistently by life itself.
Yeah, I mean, I echo that. I agree with everything you just said there. I love life. I think... the media only focuses on the negativity. Frank McKay here with Philip Lawrence Sherrod. I heard a line once, and it was from my favorite historian, a guy named Eugene Weber. He taught at UCLA, and he did a series, The Western Tradition. It's a 64-part series, or 54-part series, I think. And it was put out by the Annenberg Group, and it was a PBS special, but it was really well done. And he said that when a man loves a woman or a woman loves her children, it's not news. It's only news when they beat each other or kill each other. And you know, that was from day one of writing news. I mean, and now it's the same thing. If it bleeds, it leads. And they're not necessarily concerned with making society better. They're exposing for readership, or in nowadays with readership being what it is, viewership, they want to expose the horrors, and they have to. I'm not saying they shouldn't, but it's all negative. It's well. Do you watch the news, Philip?
Yeah. Well, I watch and listen to everything. Why? Because I'm interested to see why and what I think where to for things are evolving the way they are. I mean, Frank, I can't accept the negative postings. I mean, there are many things to talk about. And as you say, it's the negative things are not everything. And they play on it because it's like Halloween. Halloween, they keep trying to make places that are beautiful. They only talk about them in scary notes of death, the skeleton, and if you're not frightened, it's not good. Well, that's adolescent stupidity. Yeah. Give us all a break.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I'm also not Pollyanna. I don't believe that everything should be positive in the news. And I mean, I've owned 3 nightclubs, and I've been to about 40 countries, all 50 states, 6 continents. I get it. I mean, there's horrors in this world, and there's terrible things in this world. But because of today's media and social media, it's real easy to get yourself depressed and think that there's nothing else in this world other than big, bad, ugly, ugliness, and it could really come into it. You're a long time New York City resident. You can't escape the fact that there's murders and there's rapes and there's horrendous treatment of people by other people, and you see the downtrodden, and you see all of those folks. Is it difficult to be positive in a negative world?
Well, here's a good example. I've always Paul Harvey. The past Paul Harvey, I admired because he tried to give, in a way, a total base of events without just playing on the negative. He might have a sentence here or there of the negative, but he tried to cover without playing on the negative. It's like a guy. After I came to New York City in 1959 of December, I found a guy on the street. He smelled of alcohol. There was a little blood around his nose and around the concrete where he had fallen. I gently rolled him over. After looking at him a few seconds, and I said to him, I said, "Do you want me to get you an ambulance?" And he said, "No, just let me die. Just don't touch me and let me die." Well, he had reached, I guess, a saturation point of negativity that he couldn't overcome. And as I walked away, someone else had called an ambulance, and they carted him away to the hospital for a little repair, maybe. But Paul Harvey, I felt, told the story without playing on it in the negative. And that's a commendable reporting that the news people today, you don't have to just spit out the gore or the blood. You can weave your way around it and have some human concern. The world has gone numbed by, I might say, its fear of survival. They are hysterical. I mean, it's back to Italy, chaos. Was defined as out of control, when you get to the, it's like king and queen in the old days. King and queen, the idea, and I'm not advocating that we go back to rural rulers, but I am saying that there are things you tell the populace, there are things you don't. Why? Because some of them, being fools, will repeat it.
That's interesting. Maybe I'm misremembering this, but I thought of Paul Harvey as being born in Oklahoma.
I don't know if that... Well, maybe that's why I like him. I'm not sure about his birthplace. I never looked
it
up.
I'm looking.
But
now,
I did listen daily to the news, even as a child.
He was born in Tulsa. I'm just looking now. I remember that. But he was born in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which is interesting.
Well, that explains why he espoused, in a way, a concern in what he told the populace.
Yeah.
Tulsa, in his time, was one of the leading cities, a small city, but it was more cultured even than Oklahoma City. So he had a sense of having read others, and that's what I'm saying. If you read others and you see that, and I will even go to Jesus on the cross, if you find out the Romans in Rome do as Romans do, you certainly don't act like a Tulsan in Rome.
Right. Yeah. Very good. Frank McKay here, wrapping up with Philip Lawrence Sherrod, at least for today, a book forthcoming, and we'll let you know as we get closer to release of that in his own words, in his own voice. Frank McKay here, proud to be part of that. Philip Lawrence Sherrod is our very special guest, encouraging everyone to binge listen to everything that we've been doing. The great artist and poet and composer, musician, man of science, and ball player, athlete, and philosopher,
and a master teacher,
without question. He's a Renaissance man, and he is one of few left, and they're not making any more of him. We encourage everyone once again to binge listen to everything we're doing. Philip Lawrence Sherrod, thank you very much for being here.
Okay, Frank.
Philip Lawrence Sherrod, everyone, has been our very special guest. We encourage everyone once again to listen to everything that we're doing. Doesn't have to be in any particular order, but get the book when it's ready, and it'll shed a lot of light on a lot of subjects. Philip Lawrence Sherrod has been our subject today, as many days. Frank McKay signing off. We'll see you all next time on Breaking It Down.